That's cool. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Good to see y'all here this evening. And anybody that's online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Holy Ground. We've got a couple of Christmas hymns tonight, too. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where He is holy. These are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious joy. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, And praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to do a pick of him or? Okay. Anybody got a tune that you're thinking about or God's given you this week?
Yeah.
343. Alrighty. I think that's Amazing Grace, isn't it? Nice. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amen. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. And please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
You got any more back there? All right. Hey, Wednesday night crowd online. Good to have y'all tonight, and good to see you. And we're getting underway here for our prayer requests, so we'll get a mic and get it going here tonight. I've got a few myself. I think I've got... I think we've got quite a, quite a few that you might would give me, so let me read these. First of all, we've got Miss Terry Kimball is in Uganda with Rescue Hope, and they're opening a hospital, and so she'll be there, what, another 8 days, Brother Vince? Another 8 days. She'll be there another 8 days. So be in prayer for her as she gets through the jet lag and is able to minister to those people and share the gospel with those that she comes in contact with. And then Miss Marilyn Davlin is been diagnosed with AFib, and so she was getting ready to do pre-op for a shoulder surgery. I think it's a replacement, but I'm not for sure. Some kind of shoulder surgery. She needs both shoulders operated on, so they were going to do one at a time. So she ended up with the AFib or being diagnosed with that. So now she's got to get cleared by her cardiologist. So she just is asking for prayer for that, that that would happen, and she'd be able to get the surgery. And then Richard Borgman is recovering from some kind of sickness. Sissy, do you know anything? Okay. Okay. Well, I had seen on the Facebook that they had, like, intubated him, so he was on a respirator or something. But anyway, he's off of that, and it wasn't COVID-related, so we just want to pray for Richard Borgman as he recovers from his procedure or sickness or whatever it may be. We'll pray for him tonight. And Sharon Heibarger is going to be admitted tomorrow, and she'll be awaiting an operating room for this foot surgery she's been waiting on for 2 months now, right? 2 months, okay. Car wreck she had 2 months ago, so trying to repair that foot and get it ready to go. Mike Westbury, many of you know Brother Mike, pastor over at First North Houston. He is struggling with some health issues associated with his diabetes and kidney failure, renal failure, and the, what is that they have to do 3 days? Dialysis. They have to do that dialysis thing 3 days a week. So be in prayer for Brother Mike. And Gary Snyder recovering from a torn esophagus. And they actually had to do surgery to repair that. And so be in prayer for Brother Gary as he recovers from that surgical procedure that he had. And pray that God would heal him up on that. And that's about all I got. Do y'all have anything else? Bobby, we'll let you run it around tonight. Anybody got over that right there?
A praise that Johnny Hyman's doing better. He had a doctor's appointment this week. Jeanette talked to Paul yesterday and said the doctor said he's progressing nicely with his recovery.
Amen. All right, Johnny Hyman.
And Jeanette said he's getting much stronger. He can walk around the house now and
good.
Take a shower and do
Amen.
All those kind of
good
things
for him,
without
Johnny
any
Hyman.
Help.
Yeah.
Brother Stephen, one of the parents texted me right before church and said to pray for them that her dad just had a heart attack and passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
It is, they have children in one of the pre-K and then in second and third.
Okay.
And no problems at all. Just he was working with her husband.
Oh, my goodness. What family? What family is it?
It's the Cole family, C-O-Y-L-E.
C-O-Y-L-E.
And they lived with them. Her parents lived with them
goodness.
While they were building the house.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was at our last Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
They all came. They all
so, Cole family, and this is the grandpa that just passed away with a heart attack.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Brother Lee, let's pray for those shooting victims and families Michigan.
And since I have the mic, I have a few of them.
Hold on. I haven't got the school shooting yet. School shooting victims in Michigan. What's the town in Michigan? I can't remember.
It's Oakland City or Oakland County.
Okay. Oakland County. All right, Bob, what you got, buddy?
My friend in Chicago
Okay.
Is suffering from fluid overload.
Friend's name?
Lourdes.
Lourdes.
And her grandson has that RSV virus.
Yeah.
Which my friend Lourdes has also and is slowly recovering from it.
Okay.
So I'd like to lift them up in prayer.
Do you know the grandson's name?
It's T-I-A-G-O.
Tigo.
That's it.
Okay, he's got RSV. Okay, and that's her grandson.
Correct.
Tiago, RSV virus. Okay.
And then I'd like to lift up my friend Dennis. He's going in for surgery tomorrow for his kidney stones and whatever other procedure they have to do to fix some kind of tube or something that's not in the right place or positioned wrong or something.
Okay. Surgery tomorrow for kidney stones.
Mm-hmm. He has to have two surgeons there doing the procedure.
They're going
to
tag team him. Okay. Kidney stones. All right. Dennis is surgery. Where's he at?
He's in over in the Woodlands, but I'm not sure what hospital he's going to be at.
All right.
He told me, but I don't remember.
I hear you. All right. What else?
That's it. All I
That's
got.
That's it. Anybody else?
Unspoken. Got?
Okay, Fred Redman. Fred Redman. Just health issues. Brother John, health issues? Health issues?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He had a
stroke? Is he in the hospital? Oh, my. Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? John Thornhill. What's going on, Brother John? What? Uh-oh. All right. Are you going to a doctor? You rescheduled it then, huh? Okay. Doctor's appointment. All right, all right. Don't forget the Christmas party. Saturday, December the 11th, 5 p.m., $15 per person. Fajitas will be catered from Picasitos and bring a what kind of gift? A $10 gift or a small gift? $10 to $15 gift. All right. Very good. Get that announcement in there right quick. Need to know by next Wednesday. Okay. All right. Any other prayer needs?
I got one. Oh.
Yes, Lori, there was a prayer need on the Facebook. What was that? Friends? Lori, what was that friend's name? I can read it here. It's on the New Hope page. That's the one I'm missing. There it is. Okay. All right. Asking for prayers for my cousin Nina. She is pregnant and started bleeding a lot. They are having to do an emergency C-section. The baby was supposed to be coming about 2 months, so please pray for her and the baby both to be okay. So... we've been thinking about that today. So, all right. Anything else from back there, brother? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and grace to us, God. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the songs we were able to sing tonight and the grace that we sang about, Lord, and the gift of Christmas and your first advent that we're beginning to really focus on here in the beginning of December. And we just praise you for loving us and for caring for us, Lord, and for saving us and for keeping us for all eternity. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we praise you that Johnny Hyman is doing better. He's having a good recovery from his COVID, Lord, and he's getting stronger and putting on weight. We just lift that up to you, Lord, and give you all the praise and the glory and honor that's due your name. And we just pray that his recovery would continue, Lord, to go forward and be positive, Lord. And he would just get stronger and stronger a little bit each and every day. God, we pray you get him back to good as new, maybe a little bit better than what he was. Lord, we just pray you help him with all that. Lord, we're praying for Lori's cousin Nina tonight. We're praying for her and her baby. Lord, we're praying that this C-section and this delivery and, Lord, just the premature nature of it all, we pray the baby would survive this, would continue to be viable in the next days, and, Lord, there wouldn't be any lung issues or eye issues or anything like that. Lord, we just pray for your sovereign hand of protection over Nina and her baby. And, Lord, we just come together as a church just asking that you bring about a miracle here. And, Lord, see this baby and this mama through. We just lift that up to you tonight and just praise you, Lord, for being the great God you are, the God of healing. We continue to pray for Miss Terry tonight, Lord, as she's in Uganda with Rescue Hope, opening this hospital. Lord, we pray that you keep that mission team safe, keep Rescue Hope people safe, Lord. Allow them to have an impact for the gospel as they open this hospital and get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to those people. Lord, we're praying for many salvations. We're praying for many changed lives. And then, Lord, we pray that at the end of this, you bring them back safely. And, Lord, allow them to enter back into the country with no hiccups, no problems. We pray for Miss Marilyn tonight, Lord, with the AFib and trying to get all that cleared with a cardiologist, Lord, so she can have this much-needed shoulder surgery so that she can get the other shoulder operated on. We just lift Miss Marilyn up to you, Lord. Help her with her worrying about this and just the anxiety of it and the what if and the AFib and all that, God. We just pray they get all that lined out and get her ready for this surgery. We pray for Richard Borgman. We lift him up to you tonight, Lord, and we pray that you would help him recover from this pacemaker and Lord, just being on the vent, we pray you strengthen him and, Lord, just see him through. And, Lord, we just pray for Nancy as she is there to care for him. We just pray a hedge of protection around their home that nothing else would come against the Borgman family at this time. Sharon Heibarger, Lord, being admitted tomorrow, we pray that sooner than later she will get that foot surgery. She wouldn't have to wait days, Lord, perhaps just have to wait some hours and OR room will open up from a cancellation, and Lord, she'll be on her way of getting this foot recovered and rehabbed, and Lord, long process still ahead, but Lord, this is the first step, so we're just praying you guide the surgeon's hands, it'd be a good, successful surgery, and Lord, there not be any kind of lasting repercussions that foot would come back together, and Lord, it'd be just like it was before the accident. We lift up these men of God to you. We pray for Mike Westbury tonight, his health issues with dialysis, and Lord, just the many years he's been on it now. We're just praying that there might be some kind of breakthrough, some kind of miracle opportunity, Lord, for him to get a kidney transplant. Lord, we just lift old Brother Mike up to you. We're thankful for his ministry and, Lord, his faithfulness to you. And, Lord, we know that Brother Mike would give you the praise and the glory and the honor for a new kidney, Lord. So we just pray that might be an option for him. Gary Snyder, Lord, we lift him up to you. We pray that he continues to recover from this torn esophagus and bring healing to his body. And, Lord, we just pray that you see him through. We're thankful that they were able to find what was wrong and get that taken care of before it got real serious. And then, Lord, we pray for our school family, the Cole family, and the passing of their granddad, Lord, their grandfather. We pray that you'd comfort that family right now, and Lord, just the sudden loss of it, and just difficult sometimes to wrap your head around that and the tragedy of it. And Lord, we pray that in the midst of all their hurt and all their suffering, Lord, that you'd put Christians around them to be an encouragement to them, and Lord, just help them through this. And Lord, we just pray that you would comfort them and give them the grace they need to walk through the path they got to walk through right now with all this right here, just right before Christmas. Lord, we continue to pray for this school shooting up in Michigan. We pray for those that have lost children, and fourth victim perished today from his injuries. And So, Lord, we're just praying for that family, praying for all the families, Lord, and praying for the shooter as well, praying for his salvation. And Father God, we pray out of the tragedy you might sow some seeds of your gospel and, Lord, bring some people to Christ because of all of this hate. Lord, I pray you just turn it around to love and spreading of your wonderful gospel. And, Lord, in the midst of these memorials and funerals, there would be some ministers and family members that would speak truth to those in the audience and sow those seeds. And, Lord, we pray that you might harvest them, water them, and harvest those seeds of salvation. But, Lord, comfort those families right now. Be with them and help them through this most difficult time. We lift up Bobby's friends to you up in Chicago, Mrs. Lardis, with this fluid overload. And, Lord, we pray you bring healing to her, and then her grandson, Tiago, with the RSV virus. We pray you bring healing to him. And then Lord Dennis with his surgery tomorrow in the Woodlands for the kidney stones and his other procedure. Lord, we pray that you bring him through that procedure. Guide those surgeons' hands as there be two surgeons working on him. And Lord, we pray that you give him recovery from his surgery. And then Brother Fred Redmond, Lord, we lift him up to you tonight. We pray for his health issues and this stroke that he had on Thanksgiving. We pray for healing for Brother Fred, and be with Ann as she cares for him, Lord. And we just pray that you would see them through as they struggle with these health issues. And then Brother John Thornhill, we lift him up to you in this upcoming appointment he's got with a gastro doctor. We pray that they'd be able to find out what's going on, Lord, and give him some relief, give him some healing. And, Lord, we just lift Brother John up to you tonight. And then, Lord, the unspokens, we thank you, God, that we can voice these to you silently, and we're thankful that you hear us, thankful that you're for us, Lord. And Father God, help us rest in your sovereignty. Help us lay these things down at your feet and know that you have them, God. We turn them over to you. We know that you have them. We know that we know that you have them. We have faith that you're working on our behalf. So, Lord, help us not fret. Help us not be anxious. Help us just as the Spirit leads. Help us put that thing before you again and leave it at the foot of the cross. God, thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this prayer time. Thank you for a concert of prayer that has gone up out of the sanctuary as we've lifted these things up. Thank you for the folks that are online that have joined us in prayer as well. And, Lord, we just pray that you get the glory and the honor for everything we've prayed tonight. May it be a blessing, Lord, to you as we have sought to just be genuine and open and lift these things up to you. Thank you that we can come and talk to you anytime. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 16. We're marching onward and upward into this great book. And you can tell we're getting close to the very end of the Bible. I mean, it goes to chapter 22. So here we are in chapter 16. We are in the home stretch, man. I mean, it's been a long series. And we had the pandemic in the middle and all of that stuff. Well, here we are. We're back at 16, and we're going good. So if you want to stand with me, if you can, we'll begin reading here in chapter 16, and we'll take it through about verse 12. It's a meaty chapter. It goes all the way to verse 21. We won't seek to read all of that tonight as we just try to introduce the seven bowl judgments to you this evening, or as the Bible calls it, the six bowls of wrath, beginning in 16:1, and then in verse 17, it talks about the seventh bowl of wrath. But if you found that tonight, chapter 16, those of you with us online, chapter 16, verse 1, say amen. Amen. All right, the Word of God reads this: "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, righteous are you, who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over those over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. And then finally, verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. Amen. Thank y'all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, seven bowls, first installment. We'll see how many Bible studies it takes us to get through this. I'm thinking it'll take us at least a couple, but what do we have before us as we beg and ask that proverbial question? Well, we have the wrath of God against sin and his final eschatological, or end times, last days, eschatological judgment of sinners. Now, if we're honest, y'all want to be honest? Be honest? Well, if we're honest about the nature of God as revealed in the Scriptures, then we will acknowledge that the judgment of sinners during the last days is a recurring theme in the Bible. Amen. Not just here. But it's a recurring theme in the Scriptures. All right? For we see this last day apocalypse. We see it taking center stage in the Revelation. The same wrath of God displayed earlier in Revelation in the seal and trumpet judgments reaches a finality of devastation with the bowl judgments described in this 16th chapter. Now, first, understand that those rapid fire judgments that I read to you, the first six of them, all right, will take place in a very short period of time. Well, Pastor, how many weeks? How many days? I don't know. But they're going to be one right after the other, marking the final hour of the day of the Lord that has been spoken about all the way back in the Old Testament. The day of the Lord is coming. That wasn't talking about the first advent. That was talking about the second advent. The bowl judgments are the final outpouring of God's wrath on the unbelieving world before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, per chapter 15, verse 1. Look at 15:1 again with me. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished, complete, however your Bible says it. Yeah, there you go. So the bowl judgments are the last expression of divine wrath against the sin, against the unrighteousness, against the blasphemy that is rampant on the earth during the last part of the tribulation. Those of you watching me at home, and the return of Jesus Christ described in chapter 19 immediately follows these seven judgments, which leaves us with a balance of two chapters in between there, doesn't it? Yeah, 16, preacher, 16. And then you just said 19, 16, 17, 18. So what can we make of chapters 17 and 18? Oh, my soul. Well, chapters 17 and 18 go back in time to describe the destruction of the Antichrist worldwide political and religious empire of Babylon. Remember? So they set up the mark of the beast. And you can't trade unless you have the mark. And guess what? You're going to worship, yeah, the beast. And you got the false prophet. You got the unholy trinity and all that. And he brings this false world peace, right? And he's got everybody worshiping him and everybody thinking he is the one true one, right? Well, that all comes crumbling down. It starts to get a little crack in it when the seals start to be, open. And then it starts to get more crack in it when the trumpets, right? The trumpet judgments are released. But man, when we get here to the bowls, wham, it really takes his empire, his economic and religious political empire, it really comes crumbling down. It's a flashback. The interruption of the narrative to summarize or to explain in detail what has happened and what is happening is typical of how the Revelation reports the end times and the second coming of Jesus. This is not new. That's how the Revelation goes. I mean, what we need to understand in the book of Revelation, we find that the story is told in the manner of kind of taking two steps forward and then taking one step back. And then we'll take two steps forward, and then it'll make some kind of summary statement or some flashback, and we'll take a step back. So I'll say this to you about chapters 17 and 18, and I've already prayed today, but I'm going to pray. I'm praying in my mind as I'm saying this to you. I'm going to say this about chapters 17 and 18, and I'm praying that this makes sense for you, and I'll review it with you next Wednesday if it doesn't make sense, but I'm praying this makes sense for you. The way I understand the break in the narrative is that John gets to see the destruction of the Satan's evil empire as the trumpet seals and then the seals and then the bowl judgments beat the world and those that are lost into defeat and death. He gets to see it. He gets to see a summary of it, a summary vision of it, if you will, here in verses 17 and 18. So, what do we need to know and understand at this point is that immediately following the seven bowl judgments, the Lord Jesus Christ will return. He's coming back, all right? He's going to destroy the world's armies. At the Battle of Armageddon, he's going to establish his universal rule on the earth. In fact, the bowl judgments foreshadow the Battle of Armageddon, the drying up of the Euphrates River as a result of the sixth bowl being poured out on the earth will pave the way for the forces of the east to come to their destruction. Okay? Is that jiving with you? Since they are the bowl judgments, since they are the final outpouring of God's wrath, the bowl judgments will be more severe than all the earlier judgments. More severe. Which represents what? It represents, it speaks of, it testifies of the fact that God has some strong feelings. He has some strong feelings about what's going on right before Jesus' second advent. He's got some strong feelings about it. The severity of the bowls is strong proof of how God feels about those who persistently and willfully reject Him, right? Now, the way you want to understand what's going on here in this particular part of human history, represented by these verses of chapter 16, is to think. Now, this makes sense in my mind. I hope it will in yours. But it is to think of two competing trains, two competing locomotives. And I mean, they're miles long, both of them. And they are heading somewhere in a beautiful cornfield spot in Kansas. And they're on the same line, and they're heading nose to nose. They're miles apart, and they are trucking. And one guy says, I'm not getting off the track. You take the overflow. And the other guy says, I'm not getting off the track. You take the overflow. And they both said, none of us getting off the track. So they just keep on heading at each other at an inordinate amount of speed on the same train track. As the train speeds up, representing the increased rebellion of humanity against God, the other train, the God train, That train speeds up as well, representing God's increased outpouring of wrath. Now, where things get out of balance is when the two trains collide. When they finally come to a meeting in that cornfield. When they finally meet during the seven bowls, these seven bowl judgments, when these trains finally meet, the God train is built in such a way that when the rebellion train collides with it, the rebellion train is sheared in many pieces and parts and is destroyed and comes flying off the track. And the God train just keeps on trucking, man. Keeps on going. So as we continue our introduction on the bowls, as we've mentioned in the past, humanity's rebellion and the consequences they receive because of their rebellion against God. We've already said this in the past, but just to make the point, the consequences they receive is on them. It's on them, all right? They will rebel not because God in His sovereign grace was absent. They will rebel because of a hard heart. On the contrary, in the midst of their rebellion, God will graciously still try to save sinners from their sin and the penalty of their sin. But for the most part, these tribulation sinners will stubbornly cling to their sin and persist in their rebellion. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But because of their aforementioned hardness of heart, they will not hear some of the most powerful preaching of the gospel that the world will ever know. You're going to have the 144,000 preaching the gospel. You're going to have the two witnesses preaching the gospel. You're going to have countless other believers that have gotten saved preaching the gospel. And then you've got the angel in mid-heaven as the world rotates on its axis, hearing the gospel preached. You will not be able to get away from the preaching of the gospel. But they will not, many will not still repent. Instead, as we tried to illustrate with the trains, their rebellion and their defiance and their rejection of God will increase until the final judgment falls. In other words, this worldwide rebellion, this Antichrist religion, this economic, political, dynamic, worldwide thing that he's got going will literally fuel this sinful mankind world, will literally bring the whole worldwide judgment of holy God down upon it. Down upon it. As they increase their rebellion, God's going to increase his wrath. Now, as we get ready to dissect these seven plagues, which are the last per Revelation chapter what? 15 verse what? 15:1. We need to understand the continuity and the connection these judgmental plagues here in chapter 16, known as the seven bowl judgments, we need to understand the connection they have to the other major plagues of the Bible. So before we get into the first bowl judgment, we want to talk about a comparison of the major plagues in the Bible. So the precursor or the predecessor, what happened before these plagues, is found where? Well, if we'll remember all the way back to the book of Exodus, the precursor to the seven plagues is found in the plagues that God unleashed against Egypt. And what did I tell you when we were going through Egypt? Egypt is always known as Babylon, remember? Babylon. Yeah, always known as Babylon, right? Exodus chapter 7 through Exodus chapter 12, right? What else is a precursor or a predecessor? What else has happened before these bowl judgments? Well, even in the book of Revelation, we see the great trumpet judgments. Revelation chapter 8, chapter 9, 10, and 11. Now, there are some similarities. There are some differences between the three sets of plagues. Remember, the first plagues were localized, affecting only Egypt, right? The second set of plagues, the trumpets, right, destroyed one-third of the world, per Revelation chapter 8, verses 7 through 12. Revelation chapter 9, verse 15 and 18, right? One third of the world. The final plagues, the bowls, will affect the entire world. So you go from localized to one third to everything. All three sets of plagues will include hail, darkness, water turned to blood, and an invasion from the east, whether by insects in Egypt, or demons in the trumpets, or men in the bowls. Okay? The seven bowl judgments will gather together all the horrors and the terrors from all the previous judgments. Still with me, amen? So 16:1 says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God.'" Some thoughts on the loud voice as we introduce these seven bowls. As the vision of the bowl judgments began to unfold, John heard a loud voice from the temple. A loud voice from the temple. The startling impact of loud voices is heard some 21 times in the book of Revelation. Who do we believe this loud voice comes from? This loud voice is certainly that of God, since there is no one else in the temple. For Revelation 15:8, look at 15:8 with me. "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished." God's loud cry of judgment reminds us of passages such from the Old Testament prophets. One example is Isaiah chapter 66, verse 6, where the Word of God reads, "A voice of uproar from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who is rendering recompense to His enemies." In addition, God's loud voice is heard again after the seventh bowl is poured out in verse 17. Look at verse 17, chapter 16, 17. "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying," what does your Bible say? "Yeah, it is done. It is done." Amen? Yeah. So some closing comments on the introduction of chapter 16. As are all the judgments, the seven bowl judgments will be supernatural acts of God, okay? You ain't got no liberal for a pastor. This is the hand of God a-moving, okay? This is Almighty God. Some liberal commentators have attempted to give these bowl judgments a purely natural scientific explanation. However, the words of the revelation do not tolerate attempts of some commentators to give the plagues a purely natural scientific explanation. You cannot explain these with science. This is the hand of God. Part of the supernatural element of the plagues, and I can't tell you how fast they hit. I can't tell you how long it takes for all of them to be poured out. But part of the supernatural element of the plagues is that they will hit far too rapidly for any explanation other than that they came from God Himself. In fact, there's only a brief pause just long enough for one of the angels to affirm that the bowl judgments are just and righteous. And we read that pause in verses 5 through 7. And I heard, verse 7 says, "And I heard the altar saying, 'Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.'" As the seals were the seals, we're talking about some closing comments here on the introduction of chapter 16. As the seals were the seals, the trumpets are the trumpets, and the bowls are the bowls. They're three separate things. Three separate things. Some writers have seen these bowl judgments as a retelling of the seal and the trumpet judgments. There are similarities, but there are many more differences, especially in the degree of the devastation. In fact, the fourth bowl has no parallel in earlier judgments. And because of the bowl's severity, the seals are not considered as a major set of plagues. Why is that, Pastor? Because specific death and suffering are not reported until we get to the fourth seal, chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. Whereas the bowls bring torment from the very first bowl, right? Making a sense to you there? So the bowls are universal. The bowls are more intense than the previous judgments and are called the last judgments per chapter 15, verse 1. Amen? Illustrating that the revelation is not merely going back to retell earlier plagues, but it's telling you of the final plagues. Amen? Well, that's my introduction. How about it? We good with it? Amen. We'll pick it up Sunday p.m., and we'll start with bowl number one and see how far we get. Amen? Let's close it out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can continue on in our trek, in our study, Lord, in our desire to understand the last days in eschatology and the study of the last times. Lord, we want to flesh out our knowledge of your word, not for any kind of a pride position or a know-it-all position, but Lord, we want to flesh out our knowledge of the last days of this last book so we can better be a witness to those that are so desperately lost and in need of salvation. Lord, as we come to grips with what's coming for the world, when we come to grips with what's coming for those who miss the rapture, when we come to grips with those who during the tribulation continue to refuse to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Father God, it is a horrific picture. We talk about things here in this world, and we talk about tragedies that have happened here, Lord, natural tragedies and Lord, storms and earthquakes and fires and all of those things, and tsunamis and volcanoes, and it all just kind of pales in comparison to what's going on here at the end of the tribulation. So Lord, may we take these things to heart, and may they be applied to our heart, and may they bring motivation to us to be that gospel teller and that seed of salvation sower in the hearts of those that so desperately need you. Lord, thank you that somebody told us about you. Somebody helped us find that bread of life, find that path to God. Somebody exposed us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We praise you for that tonight. And Lord, may we be counted as faithful and worthy of this ministry of reconciliation, to share that with someone else sooner than later. Because each and every day that ticks off the old calendar, Lord, your second coming is just another day closer. So we praise you and thank you, Lord, for your first advent, the grace and the mercy and the church age that it brings that we find ourselves in. But Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the second coming. Because Lord, we know it's just going to be glorious and incredible after all this tribulation stuff is over. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed. Those of you with us online, we'll see you Sunday night. Hope to see you Sunday morning. Sunday morning, come back.